Hello, and welcome to your Patreon exclusive. Herein known by, we're going to tear Darwin's singlet. We're going to tear it right off. Because Darwin, the white man of all white men, had some wayward thoughts when it came to the theories of evolution, when it came to just exploring, right? Maybe more realistic and representative definitions of natural phenomena, be that the diversity in sexual orientation, be it the reversal of gender roles in, certain species, or multi-gendered species in and of itself. So yeah, we're gonna have a little kiki just quick about Darwin, right? Because Darwin acknowledged that, like, many animals do not align with the sexual binary. And this is the gag, okay? Darwin actually, like, he acknowledged this, but he would go on to say, let me find the quote here for y'all. He would go on to say this. He would say, on the whole, there can be no doubt that with almost all animals in which the sexes are separate, there is a constantly recurrent struggle between the males for the possession of the females. And I'm like, if that isn't science through the whitest of male lenses, I cannot. Imagine taking away, this man worked with hermaphroditic barnacles. Like, he was one of the individuals that worked with a species capable of not only having a multi-gender, like, sexual orientation in terms of, like, the physical anatomy, but also in, like, the expression physically, and that is a gag to me. Instead, he simply set barnacle species and barnacle-like species to the side, and just asserted that all remaining species do obey this universal male and female template that he was proposing. And this is the gag, too. Darwin also knew about sex role reversal, right? But offered literally no explanation for it. So, again, let me find the quote for you. He goes, it happens, but it's rare. Because with birds, there has sometimes been a complete transposition. This is the quote he said. I'm going to read it in Darwin's voice, actually. I'm imagining what it's like to, I take that back. I don't want to be embodied by the spirit of a white man. With birds, there has sometimes been a complete transposition of the ordinary charters proper to each sex. Proper. Imagine asserting, wow, morality to sexual behavior, and you're not even a member of that species community. That's the white mannery for me. Ooh, no mama. Anyway, so it continues. The females having become the more eager in courtship, the males remaining comparatively passive, but apparently selecting the more attractive females. Certain henbirds have thus been rendered more highly colored, or otherwise ornamented, as well as more powerful and pugnacious than the cocks. And so imagine sitting there being like, okay, wow, just watch me some fabulous fine femme birdies up here reversing gender roles, being like, yeah, no, bish, I'm gonna be the one with the display. I'm gonna be the one with the sensation. And after reviewing, right, the sex roles reversed in cassowaries and emus and tree creepers and nightjars, this wayward white man still concluded, taking as our guide the habits of most male birds, females endeavor to drive away rival females in order to gain possession of the male. Here, the males would probably be most charmed or excited by the females, which were the most attractive by their bright colors, other ornaments, or vocal powers. Sexual selection would then do its work, steadily adding to the attractions of the females, the males and the young being left not at all, but little modified. Even today, y'all, okay? Sex role reversals are explained throughout science and academia as resulting from a higher parental investment from males than females in raising the young. Yet, even today, no theory has been proposed that explains what this transposition of the sex role binary, right? No, there's been no theory that has been proposed that explains, like, when this transposition, I should say, of the sexual binary occurs. And, I mean, we could continue tearing tearing Darwin's singlet right now, because I have such frustrations with Darwin. And I mean, you know, again, this is the part I love science, that we can, like, edit, adjust, take critique, and move forward in order to build. But Darwin isn't here to accept my critiques, especially about his overall theory of evolution. And within his theory of evolution, there isn't room or explanation, really, for same-sex relationships. Because Gagatrandra is, if you have a theory of evolution that bases, right, that claims that genetic variation and ultimately evolution, speciation, the ability to adapt to an area is rooted in sexual reproduction, which is then also rooted in monogamous heterosexual relationships, then mama, explain to me the gay geese. Explain to me the gay penguinos. Explain to me the bivalves. Explain to me I'm saying this, I'm being obtuse here, because, bitch, I can explain it to myself. Okay, Darwin, we don't need you. And this is the thing, is that, I mean, Darwin was doing a lot, so you can't do everything. But white men stay trying to do the most. And mama, ain't no one need you to exclude entire queer communities from your theories. And the gag is, I would be a little bit more, you know, forgiving, maybe, if this wayward individual was absolutely not exposed to any of these contradictory examples within the wildlife community, right? But Mans knew. Mans was aware. Mans had the knowledge about the sex role reversals, about hermaphroditic species, about the ways in which animals did not conform to this binary heterosexual model for evolution that he was proposing. And I'm like, mama, that is harmful. That is harmful. Because you were exposed. You were aware. Gag. But we have to remember, Darwin was operating at peak white people damn times, right? At peak white male times in the world, where literally you could not tell a white man no, where you would be slaughtered. Like, that was the times. And so, at least for me and my people. So Darwin conceived, right? We have to remember that his theory, right, was in a society that glamorized and upheld a colonial, militaristic sort of mindset that was able to just go in and assign dutiful, sexually passive roles, right, onto the female species that he saw conforming to his very binary and ultimately just simplistic theory for evolution. But what came after, y'all, wasn't even much better. And again, I love science for, you know, the ability to work on and improve. But what was this? Because After Darwin's theory of evolution came our universal theory for sexual selection, and within that, there are so many inaccurate claims. Like males are somehow universally passionate and are universally going to be more horny because sperm, as the smaller gamete, is less expensive to create, whereas females are going to be universally coy, universally a little bit more choosy because larger gametes are more expensive energetically to create. That, like, we just know that these things are false. We know that these are falsehoods, right? And we know that amongst a suite of both male and female animals, right, there isn't this sort of, you can't apply a universally fit sort of hierarchy of genetic quality. The same goes for the females don't universally, right, select males for their genetic quality, right? So this sexual selection theory is ultimately, it's inadequate to address the diversity in bodies and behaviors, life histories, that actually exists, okay? And Darwin nor this theory didn't bother to explain the exceptions that he himself recognized. And honestly, as data on diversity in gender and sex continue to accumulate, sexual selection theory, which addressed only a subset of the facts to begin with, it just becomes increasingly inadequate. Let's end this here. This has been a nice little short moment of tearing Darwin's singlet, talking about the theories of evolution. I think what I'm going to do for y'all next is actually, we're going to do a part two where we expand on this, and we're going to talk about some of the benefits or the positives of same-sex relationships. So we're going to be looking at the ways in which same-sex relationships can actually result in increased survivability or increased fecundity, right? When we look at the example from this most recent episode, season 2, episode 11, right, of how the fecundity or the sexual reproductive capacity of a female cloning reproducing lizard. So those are just whiptail lizards that exist in the Southwest America. These include things like the brown gecko, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Point is that these species of lizards, even though that they can reproduce clonally when they engage in courtship behavior with females and then with other females forming a same-sex relationship, the hormonal mismatching actually serves to a benefit both of the individuals, and as a result, the female who is laying the eggs is able to, the courtship and the pairing stimulates hormone production, it actually increases the amount of eggs that she's able to have. And yeah, so again, we're going to do that on our next little Patreon exclusive moment here. And I'm going to pop that out actually next week for y'all. So hope you enjoy. But yeah, nice little exclusive moment for y'all on the Patreons. Patreon. Wow, I can't speak. But yeah, super thankful for y'all, for your patronage, for your support, honestly. And yeah, I'm just happy that we can, like, do these cute little creative moments together. And I'm trying to find out, like, ways to even change it up, maybe do some more visual stuff. But my problem, if you saw, okay, I did, like, 2 episodes on the YouTubes, and it was struggle boots. I just, like, don't have the camera quality or the lighting and the gear. I thought I did, y'all. I really thought I did, but I don't know about that. So we're exploring some more other visual options for y'all. But for now, hopefully you enjoyed this little cute tidbit, and I'll catch y'all later.